The first meeting of the Community and Regional Affairs Committee. Welcome. It's exciting to welcome you all to our very first meeting, all the new members and the returning members. Representative Heron and I worked together as co-chairs of this committee last year, so it's very fitting, I think, that we have a joint meeting with the Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism Committee for our first meeting. It feels like old times. I told Terry, I said, maybe we should just combine our committees and carry on from there. But anyway, we have today a presentation of the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development on the merging of two divisions, the Division of Economic Development and the Division of Investments. And this merger came about as a result of discussions that we had last session, ideas presented by Representative Alan Osterman to position the state government departments that are focusing on economic development and community development on actions that really promote economic activity throughout the state. And how can we best do that? How can we be most effective in the Department of Community, Commerce, Community, and Economic Development? So today with us we have Commissioner Susan Bell and Deputy Commissioner Thayer. And Ms. Ayres is here as well from the department to present the new Division of Economic Development and give us a progress report on how that's going. If you'd like to come forward, please, it would be wonderful to get started. We have the committee room until 9:30 today, and we will allow an hour for the presentation and then about a half an hour for questions. Before we get started, I'd like Alan Osterman, Representative Osterman, to make a few comments about his work on promoting economic development, and then I'll turn it over to Chair Heron of the Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism Committee. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, first off, 2 years ago, when I got elected and came down here, one of the committees I received on finance, subcommittees on finance, was this department as my subcommittee. And it didn't take very long to get into looking at the department to find out that economic development had basically fallen by the wayside, and the community and regional affairs side of it was very strong. I started questioning and looking at other states as how they did economic development, and then started working with the governor and the current people at that point in time. Since then, the governor has made some major changes in the department. He's brought on a new commissioner that has economic development background. She has then changed things within the department, I think, that are very good, and I'm very pleased to see that there's a very strong emphasis on getting economic development back. When you look at the state as an overall view, communities will only function properly if we've got solid economic base in the state of Alaska, economic activities. So I think it was a very good move on the governor's part, and I'm very pleased to see that they've made those changes, and I think that it'll be good. But every pendulum swings both ways, and I would caution this committee to don't focus so much on economic development. That pendulum has already started to swing. Let's make sure that it doesn't swing too far, though, and communities, regional affairs outside of the department doesn't go away like economic development went away. And just make sure that you keep your eye on the ball rather than what's currently the most focus that we've seen out of the department.
Thank you very much. And Representative Heron.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I do appreciate the 2 years we worked together with our other committee members on CNRA last legislature. I've met with the commissioner already, and I appreciate what Representative Osterman has said, is that with his staff and research that they've done, it was imperative that we make some changes, and of course the governor and the commissioner have done that. And her staff has done a good job. So the two committees, it's in our best interest to make sure this works. And whereas, you know, my committee members on this special committee will work closely with the majority leader and you, Madam Chair, and all my committee members. And so I look forward to this and have a good year.
Great. Thank you very much. And before we get started, I would like the record to show that we are joined, that present our members, Representative Alan Osterman, Representative Alan Dick, Vice Chairman Neil Foster, Chairman Bob Herron, and Representative Steve Thompson, and myself, Kathy Munoz, Chair of Community and Regional Affairs. So with that, Susan, would you like to start, please?
Thank
you. Oh, I'm sorry, and Representative Dan Sadler. Sorry. Thank you, Dan.
Well, thank you. Appreciate the introduction. Susan Bell, Commissioner for Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The majority of the comments today are going to be made by our division director, Juanita Ayers, because it's our first time to address this committee this year. I want to be sure we took a few moments to just provide a brief overview of the department, and then also to recognize we have some additional department staff in the audience as well, including Ray Ryuta, Director of ASME, and Economic Development staff. As was just noted, we have a broad mission, promoting a healthy economy, strong communities, and protecting consumers. And as we embark on that, there are four key areas, really ensuring that we have programs that focus on sustainable economic growth, ensuring that our consumer protection programs are helping provide a stable business climate, focusing on sustainable energy and particularly the cost of energy in rural Alaska and throughout the state. Again, as was noted by the introductory comments, we have an important role with help ensuring the sustainability of communities throughout the state. And we interact on a daily basis with a wide array of communities of different sizes. Again, part of what I wanted to do, it's probably easiest just to go to the organizational chart, which is two slides down, just so I can keep my comments brief and allow our director to really focus on the topic at hand today. Again, the department has six core agencies, and looking in the framework I was just describing in terms of economic development, we have the Division of Economic Development that we're going to focus on today, Alaska Aerospace Corporation, ASME, and ADA. And you can see, as the organizational chart in front of you is laid out, the corporate agencies are portrayed with a dotted line relationship on the left and the right of the commissioner, and our core agencies are across the bottom. And with this, part of what I wanted to emphasize is we have a different relationship with each of those independent corporate agencies. In some instances, we serve on the board. In some instances, we are very engaged in the administrative functions of accounting, HR, and other support services for a director of administrative services. In others, it's more of an arm's length relationship, and I know some of you are very familiar with that. Two of the more independent entities would include Alaska Railroad and RCA. But again, even though we're organized in the corporate and core agencies, our function back to economic development, energy, consumer protection, we work across these lines. So again, economic development includes Division of Economic Development, ASME, Aerospace, and ADA. Our sustainable energy programs are executed through the Alaska Energy Authority. Our mission of achieving sustainable communities and strong communities is through a combination of two divisions, and that's the Division of Community and Regional Affairs, and I know we'll have a time to talk about their programs soon, and also Serve Alaska, a small corporate entity. It's housed within our Anchorage office, four employees, and with a budget of over $3 million, is engaged with communities and nonprofits throughout the state through the AmeriCorps Vista program. Did I leave anybody? Oh, sorry. Oh, and then consumer protection. We have three, if you'll go back, just while I briefly touch on consumer protection, our regulatory entities of banking and securities, Division of Insurance, Division of Corporation Business and Professional Licensing, and the Regulatory Commission of Alaska. So again, ensuring that there's stability in the business climate, ensuring that people that are engaged in these different business activities are acting lawfully, that they're financially sustainable, that they have the licensing that they should have. And again, there's a consumer protection element. So moving briefly to the next slide. This map is from Community Regional Affairs, but we like that it shows that we cover one corner of the state to the other. We have 10 locations, 538 employees. The stars are located where we have community and regional affairs offices and in some instances other functions. We also have employees located in Tok through the Division of Economic Development. We staff the Public Lands Information Center in Tok, Aerospace. Their operations base is located in Kodiak. And then ASME has offices in Seattle. So again, I'm going to turn the floor over to Juanetta Ayer. She joined the Department of Economic Development last March. And part of, as I segue into her comments, part of what we've been saying through the course of this last year to Representative Munoz, Representative Osterman, Representative Heron, recognizing a pivotal meeting just over a year ago in Anchorage with this committee, that we heard, we concurred with many of the comments, and we brought a lot of our own ideas and energy and examination of what was happening in other states. And where we are right now, I think, with this recent merger is we're at the front end of something that I think gives us the framework to continue to build as we go forward. So, again, Juanetta.
Great. Thank you, Commissioner. Chairman Munoz, Chairman Heron, and committee members, it's a pleasure to be here this morning. Just by way of introduction, my name is Juanetta Ayers. I'm the director for the Division of Economic Development. I do know some committee members, but I just wanted to share with you a little bit of my personal bio, which is I'm a lifelong Alaskan. I was born in Anchorage and have worked most of my career in community and economic development, primarily focused in rural Alaska, in the Southwest region and in Western Alaska. And so this is a great opportunity to work at the statewide level on something that I've had a lifelong passion for, which is the future of Alaska. So it's a pleasure to be here to talk to you about the Division of Economic Development and where I think we're headed, which is a very great direction to marshal the resources of the state and help our communities and our businesses realize a great future for Alaska. By way of introduction, I thought it might be helpful to spend just a couple of minutes talking about what is economic development, because often there's some confusion on this point about what is it and what should we be doing. This is actually the officially adopted definition from the International Economic Development Council. And I won't read through it, but I'm providing it in the packet as some background information. But obviously what we're focused on here is creating economic well-being and a quality of life for the future of all Alaskans. That has to do with creating jobs and providing a stable tax base and a way for us to move forward. And some of the information I'll be sharing today is really focused on what does our future economy look like. We've had some great successes in the past in our core industries, and hopefully those will continue. But we also need to address what the future will look like. The other thing that I just wanted to state is that in addition to that official definition, economic development, we were talking internally a few weeks ago, and I said, well, you know, it's a team sport. It's full body contact. And just when things get tough, you either have to make the decision that you're going to play through. And that's really what this slide is all about, that economic development is something that has to take place over the long term. You have to really keep your eye on what that future looks like and keep moving towards it. What you focus on expands, and if we don't focus on what that future looks like and what our economy will look like, then I think we know what our the circumstances of our existing industries are, and they're strong, and we are grateful for the opportunities that have been created by those, but we need to really keep thinking about what the future looks like. I wanted to share this, and you'll probably be hearing more about this during the legislative session from the Alaska Forward Initiative, which is focused on a cluster development framework for economic development. But I think what this slide illustrates is one of the key points about economic development is that we need to focus on those traded sector industries, those industries and businesses that export goods and services from Alaska. And Then the next slice of this pyramid is the supplier firms that support those traded sector businesses. Those two top layers are what the private sector does. The bottom layer, those economic foundations, are largely things that everybody participates in: government, the private sector, education, universities, and non-governmental organizations. So those economic foundations are the things that we can all work on together to make the supplier networks and the traded sector firms more efficient. So moving into our situation in Alaska, certainly last year, the last 18 months or so, there's been a lot of examination about what our economic development efforts are. And one of the things that we often refer back to is a December 4th meeting of the House Special Committee on Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism. And we refer to this fondly as the Blue Book, which was the result of work that was done by Representative Herron and Representative Osterman's staff, and the work that they did to help bring forward what other states are doing and examining what's happening within the state of Alaska. And it really helped to catalyze some of the conversations that were already happening with on a regional and local level about how do we organize ourselves better to do economic development. And then during the course of the last legislative session, there were ongoing conversations about economic development efforts, and those conversations were very helpful and helped frame a lot of what's happened since then. Another thing that was happening concurrent with that was the Alaska Forward Initiative. And this is a quote from the situational analysis that was completed about the assessment of the Alaska economic development system. And basically, it was very critical, not only from the standpoint of what the consultants found, but from interviews that they did with economic development professionals at a local and regional level and statewide level, and then also with the business community, that there was a lot of fragmentation and that we really weren't aligning our resources to work to their highest and best purpose. Mm-hmm. And, of course, economic development is a priority for Governor Parnell, and creating jobs for Alaskans and creating a solid investment climate for business is the way that he has framed his economic priorities. So as a result of all of that, this past October, Governor Parnell issued Administrative Order 257, which created the Division of Economic Development out of the former Office of Economic Development and the Division of Investments. So with the Division of Economic Development, what AO 257 did was combine two operating units that their primary mission and focus was economic development. That's in the, all of the budget documents that you would see from both of those operating units. So we formed a more cohesive economic development operating unit within the Department of Commerce, and this will help us really focus and facilitate the restructuring of our economic development mechanisms within state government. We're also working on creating a lot of operational and cost efficiencies within this new division. The other thing that it does is, with the division, is that it lays a foundation for improvement in our economic development efforts. One of the things that we looked at is, by statute, what our responsibilities are within the department. But some of the key foundational work that needs to be done in economic development is not currently addressed by either what's in statute or the way the department and the two operating units were organized. So we need to do more with business outreach and technical assistance, with marketing and promotion of the financing tools that we have, with outreach to our targeted industries, and looking forward to what are those emerging growth industries and what can we do to help create those economic foundations for them to thrive. Additionally, in the future, we want to work towards overarching marketing and branding of Alaska. We have lots of marketing activities in sectors, tourism and fisheries, but we need to think, when we go out and approach the business community about doing business in Alaska, how do we market and promote ourselves in an overarching fashion and make it consistent with what's being done within those existing marketing programs. We've already done a lot of work to expand our outreach and technical assistance into the business community. I can talk more about that when we go into question and answers. And we're working on expanding our financing programs. We have a very successful financing program now, and I hope that you saw yesterday with HB 121, the governor has introduced a package of additional financing tools that we hope to grow that portfolio. One of the key things that we really are focusing on now and into the future is how do we coordinate on a multi-agency, multidisciplinary fashion. No one department or agency within state government can fully address economic development. If we're talking about natural resources development, then we have to engage with the Department of Natural Resources. Virtually every economic development effort involves workforce at some level, so we have to engage with the Department of Labor. There are many aspects of state government and allied organizations that we need to bring everybody together and help coordinate and work with the private sector so that they can understand what those agencies can do to help facilitate their work.
Excuse me, Ms. Harris, if I would make an announcement that Representative Sharon Sisna has joined us. Thank you, Sharon.
One of the questions that has come up since the merger and the creation of the Division of Economic Development is, how is this affecting the staff across the state? So I've developed this chart for you to show we have duty stations staff located in Anchorage, Fairbanks, Juneau, and Tok, and then by functional area, the director's office, the development section, and the financing section. As you can see, most of our staff continues to be here in Juneau with the financing section. We also have development specialists that are located here, and one person detailed administratively to the director's office. And then we have development specialists also in Anchorage and Fairbanks. And then, as the commissioner mentioned, we have, by statute, this ongoing responsibility for Public Lands Information Center in Tok. So that's how our staffing exists across the state. I wanted also to provide you with some information regarding our financing activities. This is our loan fund report for FY10, and it shows you the number of new loans closed during the last fiscal year by loan fund, and then the total principal closed on those loans for lending activity of $17.1 million last year. And I can answer any questions that you may have with regard to the individual loan programs. Additionally, we need to look at the entire loan portfolio, and this slide gives you a summary of all loan servicing in the last fiscal year. So it shows you our outstanding loans, other accounts, gives you some information with regard to delinquency and default statistics, and then a summary of total loans and other accounts. We have over 2,500 accounts and principal outstanding of at the close of last FY of $197.5 million. As I mentioned, the governor did introduce his economic development package earlier this week, and part of that are some new financing tools that you'll be looking at during this legislative session. This slide provides you with a summary of those three new tools, the Alaska Microloan Revolving Loan Fund, a Commercial Fisheries Revolving Loan Fund, and a Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund. Each one of these developed out of conversations with the private sector about the need for public financing in these areas because they are either unserved or underserved by private lenders, either because of the scale of the lending, the financial tools that they need in the case of the microloan, and as an ongoing basis with regard to fisheries, that it historically has been an underserved sector in our industry. So these two, and again, the charter fisheries is, there's some specific policy issues that led to the need to have some financing for these charter operators. And with that, I'd be happy to address any questions that the committee may have.
Representative Sadler, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner, or Director Ayers, a question just for a guy who doesn't know much about the fishing development industry. Can you give me some idea about the relationship between these new financing tools for commercial fishing and how they might interface with CFAB and ARLF, I understand, Canadian Mariculture Loans? And just put the whole system in perspective for me.
Sure. CFAB is a traditional private sector lender, although they are an organization that is addressed in Alaska statute. They operate under the same operating parameters as any private lender would. And we have partnered with them in the past to work on operating standards that assure our borrowers need to be turned down by a private lender before we will lend to them. And so in many cases, CFAB will see a client first. In other cases, we've had borrowers approach us and do the referral back to private lenders or to CFAB that they meet conditions that we believe they should be able to achieve private lending in the private sector.
Can I follow up? Okay.
Sure.
And just having heard a similar overview from the Department of Natural Resources Division of Agriculture, there was a determination someplace that the Agricultural Revolving Loan Fund could now cover shellfish loans. Is that new to you? Is that integrated into this at all, or the Agricultural Revolving Fund?
Through the chair, that is new information to me. I didn't realize that there had been a determination about that with the Ag Loan Fund. We have been, through our development staff, and our economists have been working with existing mariculture operators, primarily here in Southeast and in South Central area. The issue, and the Ag Revolving Loan Fund is operated in DNR, and the operating parameters for that vary somewhat from what we would do within the Division of Economic Development. So we've been working with those potential borrowers and other interests promoting the mariculture industry to try and structure the Mariculture Loan Fund specifically to what the needs of the mariculture industry are. Depending on what their product mix may be, it could take them 3 to 6 years to develop a reliable revenue stream. And so the Mariculture Revolving Loan Fund is designed specifically to be the kind of patient capital that would have only interest-only payments during those first 3 to 6 years until they develop a reliable revenue stream and to be able to then pay the loan off in full.
Commissioner Bell, thank you.
I just wanted to amplify some of the comments also that Director Ayers mentioned. Part of our process, of course, getting to the stage where the governor's office and the governor introduced these bills, as we were going through our confidential and deliberative process internally, we were working very closely with not only the private sector, as Juanita just indicated, but also at stages when the governor's office and the legislative director were comfortable, we vetted these concepts through our Economic Advisory Council, a group of about 20 individuals from different economic sectors, including the banking industry. And just discussed the concepts, got some feedback from them, and then also at a stage where we were ready to get much more specific about it, we spoke directly with CFAB, too. So part of what we wanted to understand is how people were going to react, where we fit in, and what's good public policy in terms of providing financing opportunities, helping retain Alaska employment, and helping support entrepreneurs. So I just wanted to mention that some of that had been our footwork that we did before bringing it to you.
Thank you. Representative Foster, thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chairperson. First of all, I just wanted to say I appreciate the backgrounds that both of you have in rural Alaska, and I have every confidence that you'll both do a great job for the entire state. And so in regards to the Alaska Microloan Revolving Loan Fund, I see that as a great program for all Alaskans, and particularly those in rural Alaska. How would you communicate the program to the folks out in the bush where sometimes you don't have the access to the folks and the economic development agencies and so forth?
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Foster. That's a great question. We have, in addition to our development staff, we have the Alaska Regional Development Organization program, the ARDER program, and those are 12 outlets for us to work with. Additionally, we do have relationships with lots of other organizations, and through our Community Regional Affairs division, have access to tribal and municipal organizations that are also engaged in community and economic development. So we see all of those as conduits to provide information about the financing tools that will be available. And the microloan revolving loan fund is going to be, I think, a tool that will be very welcome in rural Alaska. So we do anticipate that there will be a lot of activity in that area.
Thank you.
Thank you. Are there additional questions? Representative Osterman.
Madam Chair. Commissioner, I'm going to step off of economic development for a second and go to the makeup of the department. Used to be a deputy commissioner of, or two deputy commissioners, one on the economic development side, one on the rural side. And it's my understanding now that there's only one deputy commissioner, and the other commissioner on the work community rural side has been made a special assistant. If that's the classification that I understand correctly, can you explain the difference between two deputy commissioners and why they're...
Through the chair. Thank you, Representative Osterman. One of the things that you're correct, last year is I was working as a special assistant in the governor's office with this department. We had Mike Black serving as deputy commissioner, was director of the site for community and regional affairs. Curtis Thayer was hired in December. He's been with the department just over a year, and his oversight included the five remaining divisions within the department. Part of what I was looking at in terms of our organizational needs, we anticipated the merger that we've been discussing today, and I also thought about geographically. I'm located in Juneau. Deputy Commissioner Thayer is located in Anchorage. Both of us are very hands-on. We're engaged with the department. I look at our directors, and I know that they cherish our hands-on engagement. With many of the other ways we're active on subcabinets and commissions with other aspects of state government. So, again, thinking about the size of our department, our personalities, and our geographic location, I felt comfortable that we could proceed with a single deputy commissioner, and yet. There are, the position was, as you described, reclassified in Anchorage. We have now, with myself in Juneau, Deputy Commissioner Thayer in Anchorage, we also have a special assistant in Juneau and Anchorage. And our Anchorage special assistant is Robbie Graham. Some of you may be familiar with her. She was most recently in the Office of the Federal Coordinator. And she was a business owner, engaged with a lot of different industries on policy and communication. She had a firm called Bernholtz and Graham. So we've tasked her with some priority projects. They span a number of things in the department, including Connect Alaska, broadband. She's been engaged with the rural subcabinet tasks. She's also been engaged in helping develop a long-term strategy for international trade with the Office of International Trade and the Film Office. So looking at where our priorities are and her particular skills, we're targeting them on some things. We want to be sure that we continue to focus in advance.
Follow-up? Yeah,
yes. Okay.
So I kind of lost the whose responsibility is it for rural development, rural community affairs, that whole kind of ball game besides economic development.
Through the chair, again, thank you, Representative Osterman. I'm sorry I wasn't clear on that. There had been a bifurcation where Deputy Commissioner Black had focused on community and regional affairs and Deputy Commissioner Thayer, the balance of the division, the core divisions within the agency. As we are operating now, myself and Deputy Commissioner Thayer are both directly engaged with all of the divisions. So it's not a split as it had been structured previously.
Thank you. Chair Herron, please.
Madam Chair, thank you. Director Harris, could we go to slide 17 and small business economic development, rural development, is why is rural development, can you give the history of why it's 6% and the others are lower than 6%?
That rural development fund is initiative fund is actually a fund that we manage on behalf of ADA, and it was capitalized through an appropriation from the Economic Development Administration. And we have a couple of loan funds that are managed in that way. The SBED, Small Business Economic Development, is similar. So some of the parameters, we actually have been working with EDA to unify management between the two funds, and there are some geographic restrictions on certain aspects of the funds, too, and we wanted to make them broadly available statewide so that we don't have to manage them separately.
Okay. Could you, both small business and rural, could you identify a couple of those loans? What do they do? I mean, what are they? Do you know?
In term, to give
I mean,
me
just describe them. I mean, like one of the loans is this.
I can get you that information. I don't have that detail on individual loans at this point.
Okay, and maybe this would be something you can get back to the committee.
Sure.
Is on slide 18, you have delinquent and foreclosures. Is there a certain sector of economic development that these are delinquent or foreclosure, or are there, could you give, provide an example?
One of the probably specific examples would be in fisheries enhancement, which is largely with the fish hatchery program. And we do have a number of those accounts that have gone into a delinquent status where we may be taking interest-only payments from them in order to work out some of their revenue issues.
Okay. I'm sure, you know, there was an effort by the majority leader, the current majority leader last year and my office on an economic development commission. But I didn't hear anything about, is that something in the works, or is the administration considering a commission?
I would defer that question to the commissioner with regard to the Economic Advisors Council that she has created.
Through the chair. But we recognized last year, while the bill didn't pass forming the Economic Development Commission, that the interest remained. A piece of that is definitely, you know, conversation the legislature was having. Our charge has been less focused on that and more on enhancing the effectiveness of our program. So we're not examining the formation of a commission or not, just looking at how across our department and working with other state entities and private sector partners, how to be effective.
And if I...
Madam Chair, Commissioner, I guess that's, I mean, did your department and the governor think that it'd be better to build within and not have broader overarching commission that could help the administration? If you could please expand on that.
Through the chair, Representative Herron, we recognize the fragmentation, you know, the concerns about fragmentation and the focus on only the, you know, criticism that Division of Economic Development or Office of Economic Development was focused only on the statutory responsibilities and not a broader element. We haven't examined the benefit of organizing through a commission or not, but what we've done is recognize that there was a concern about the effectiveness of our programs, and we've just been looking within our existing capacity and, you know, both from a staff and a financial resources just about how to deliver the most effective programs.
Madam Chair, maybe just one comment, then one final question. I guess when I was listening to the director is, you know, the concern about getting outreach anywhere, it doesn't matter if it's urban or rural, but related to community regional affairs is I'm a little concerned that someone working at CNRA will have somebody ask, well, I need help in my economic development, and they'll say, okay, this is who you got to get a hold of, rather than, okay, I'll work with you and I'll work with my peer to assist you in economic development, because it's difficult, whether you're in Nome, Bethel, or again, any part of the state, to have someone in CNRA say, okay, well, you got to go over here. I'd rather there be some sort of coordination where the CNRA person could say, okay, I'm going to work with you and my peer over in economic development to assist you. That, I'm hoping that would be happening naturally, but that was just a comment. And, Madam Chair, one final question to the director. Is in economic development, there's an increase of over last year's base. It's $763,000. Could you maybe have just a quick snapshot of why the increase in economic development?
Through the chair, Representative Herron, just for clarification, are you referring to the budget narrative?
Yeah, it's it would be creating the division and of course economic development funding of Alaska Native Arts Marketing. But I'm more concerned at the moment on that this creation it results in $363,000 more.
Okay, the chair. Thank you for that question, Representative Herron. Part of that funding is related to the fact that we had a one-time increment last year for a business outreach officer, and that position has proven to be very valuable, particularly with regard to coordination on complex projects that involve multiple agencies and require ongoing involvement from our division. So part of that would go to fund that on an ongoing basis. Additionally, we had a position that was 70% funded by an RSA through the governor's office, which was no longer available to us to fund that position, so it replaces that. And then additionally, our funding for last year only provided partial funding for another development specialist position that was focused on minerals. So we were significantly down in funding for our existing staffing levels that we had in FY10. So that mostly goes to restore full funding for those personal services from those positions.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And let the record show that Representative Berta Gardner has joined us. Thank you. Commissioner Bell, earlier you spoke of the Economic Advisory Council. Could you speak to the makeup of that council and what the role is of the council in working with the department?
Thank you. We felt that it was important to have a group of individuals that had some continuity. As we asked them to serve in this role, we looked out at a number of industry sectors. We have representatives from oil and gas. We have representatives from ANCSA corporations, from banking, from Resource Development Council. Again, we can follow up with a list of the individuals that have agreed to participate. But what we wanted was supportive, candid individuals that represented diversity geographically as well as industries. And we asked them, as we formed the group, to anticipate a quarterly meeting. Our first meeting was in September when we were in the process of having, we were in the first blush of our legislative proposals, our budget development, and at that stage it was premature to share our concepts with them, but we wanted to hear what was top of mind. Again, building on some of the feedback that Director Ayers shared earlier, just feedback from the community about the purpose of the department, ideas that they had for programs. We came back to them in early December with the legislative director, Heather Brakes, and broadly described some of the ideas related to economic development, not only within our division, but ADA and some of the other departments, and got their feedback. We, again, anticipate meeting quarterly. While we have increased our engagement with a number of economic development organizations and private businesses throughout the state, we thought it would be very valuable to have a group that understood that we were, back to the theme of some continuity, and just giving us feedback on where we think the department should be going. So we've been pleased. It's a new organization, or newly formed organization, and we anticipate further, continuation of it.
Director Ayers, did you have,
yes. I also just wanted to add, thank you, Chairman, with regard to outreach to the private sector, in addition to the Economic Advisors Council, we have the Minerals Commission that provides us with private industry perspective with regard to mineral development activity in the state. Of course, we have our contractor through the Alaska Travel Industry Association and Tourism, and we're reaching out to other industry sectors as well to get their feedback on initiatives, things that we are considering within the department and the division. But then also, I think that we're blessed with industries that are wanting to reach out to the department and engage. So we're getting positive feedback and reaching out and seeking more from the private sector to help us shape our economic development efforts.
Okay. Representative Foster, and then Representative Sadler, and then Representative Dick. Thank you.
Thank you. In regards to the council, I would be interested in getting a copy of the makeup of that council. And are the seats designated, or is it open to you just kind of try and balance it, or are some of them specifically oil and gas, some are for rural, some are for, and so forth?
Through the chair, we made a list of individuals that we thought would be constructive and candid, and then began to look at where, we look at it both ways, where they would, what hats they were, recognizing that many people are involved in different organizations, different business sectors, especially when you think of many of the leaders in our ANCSA corporations. So again, geographically and industry, it's a group that we form for ourselves, so it doesn't have a statutory basis. They're not appointed by the governor. We ask them to help be our sounding board.
Follow-up. In regards to the ANCSA, I'm very happy to hear that you've gotten their input, since they're such a large segment to our economy. So thank you.
Thank you, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Commissioner Bell, your department certainly has seen its share of organization reorganization, and I appreciate you trying to orient towards economic development. With the reorganization and the creation of this division, what are your measures of success going to be? Is it numbers of loans or amounts loaned, or is there a measurement at the other end, number of jobs, new investment, new revenue? And when could you report those back to us?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, we are working exactly, there are on that area. We do, as we're able to share some of the metrics on some of our financing programs, we do measure the number of loans, the job creation, the churn in our loan funds. So there's some things that we are measuring already. We also have talked candidly with ourselves and our administrative services director that a number of the performance measures that are currently in place need to be looked at. We think that we could, as we formally report to the governor and to the legislature on our division and department activities, we think that these need a look to see if we're really focusing on the right thing. Also internally, one of our goals that we've identified but have not yet implemented is thinking about what are the indicators that we can set for ourselves to see where we're making a difference as a state and as a department in the economy. Something that it had already been a conversation we started, but it was certainly fueled by a lot of attention this last year focused on Alaska's competitiveness or lack of competitiveness compared to the other states. And I see heads nodding, so I think people recall that that was a midsummer news story that ended up staying in the Alaska conversation well into the fall. And so when we think about, as a state, some of the things that are outside of our department, but infrastructure development, our roads, our communication, our public safety, all of these things are a part of it. But there's also things that are specifically, that are within our department's charge in terms of how we market ourselves, how we articulate what we have to offer, and what our environmental and regulatory tax policy is. So we have a role in helping advise not only where the state's going and proposals that we bring, but also how we communicate that to the business community within our state and out of our state. So, again, that competitiveness indicator really accelerated our conversation on this, and I think we'll be coming back with more specific measures. But you've touched on something that we've certainly been part of our conversation.
Did you have a follow-up question? Go ahead.
Different area. I was going to.
Go ahead.
Indulgence, Commissioner. I'm intrigued by the idea of the cluster-based investment, the Alaska Forward Project. I'd invite you to expand on that just a little more.
Through the chair, thank you, Representative Sadler. The Alaska Forward Initiative is something that has actually taken many years to mobilize. It was really the seed of it started in the ARDR program through the ARDR directors and the desire to have a comprehensive economic development strategy for the state. Through over a course of several years, developed funding initially through the Denali Commission, and then ultimately last year the state also contributed towards that program. And the ARDR directors have continued to lead that effort. And we think that's an appropriate role for those organizations to take, to have that come up through the local and community and regional perspective with regard to development. But they're also engaging with the private sector. Similarly, they have developed a leadership council that will help with lots of private sector representatives there that will help shape the next phase of that project. And the whole idea behind cluster development is that it goes back to that notion that there are lots of resources, but the success will be contingent upon the ability to align and have all those resources move in a coordinated fashion towards some ultimate objective. The Leadership Council has identified 5 priority areas to work in, and this is, with, again, going back to the idea of emerging economy and focusing on what are probably non-traditional industries or clusters. But then they've also addressed some of our traditional industries as well with those prioritized areas. Tourism and oil and gas are actually the 2 areas that would be recognized as traditional industries within those 5 priorities. And the other 3 are alternative energy, advanced business systems, and international trade and logistics.
Further questions? No. Representative Deck, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just for the record, I've lived in 44 years in very, very small communities. The largest one was 350 people. So I'm functioning on a little different level here. But I'd just like to say that that there's many communities, the dynamic, a lot of small communities are such that we can say, okay, well, I talked to the traditional council in this village, traditional council there, and the assumption is that somehow that got out to the people. And so I'd like to talk with you sometime in the future as to how to reach all the people and all the communities, because very often there's people with that are very ambitious people. I can think of several in these small communities that would never hear of what you were doing if you only spoke to the local government. So if we could work together on that later, I do have some ideas on that.
That's excellent. Further questions?
No.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Representative Sisson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this actually has ties into both what Representative Sadler and Representative Osterman has really been working on is trying to really get at the heart of the economic growth in all the different places in Alaska. For this committee, one of the things that I think has been very useful in the past is you have some really great reports that you do on, for instance, the prices. And prices of fuel is really driving more negative than positive, I think. And somebody may be able to correct me on that. But you've done good reporting on that. And there may be other things that you do that I'm not noticing. But it, I think, would be very useful also for this committee to have a real good working knowledge of where in Alaska we've got problems that, and investing attention in problems is probably one of the best things that can be done. Looks like you're starting to do some of that. But it'd be great for this committee to really have those numbers. And your comments also about looking at where there's overlaps with other departments, having that understanding and actually being able to work with other departments through our committee process would be a great thing to get help with you from. I think I said that wrong, but anyway. and you might even have some ideas that you could elaborate on right now.
Through the chair, well, I appreciate your compliment on some of the research and analysis that's done by different divisions, including Community Regional Affairs and the Division of Economic Development. And I think through the course of this session, we can talk with the chair about what would be topical, because we'll be in the coming weeks, we'll be completing a number of reports, so we can look to see what would be good to focus on. So thank you for recognizing the value of that work. And one thing, just as you were asking about kind of the overlap and tying into what Director Ayers was talking about, kind of harnessing the skills of different departments, I was just going to briefly note, this is one small example, but this evening, both Deputy Commissioner Thayer, Director Ayers are going to be leaving with a contingent from our state to go to Vancouver. Representatives from the Governor's Office, DNR, ADA, and Division of Economic Development, and the department will be at a one of the leading trade shows and conferences. And many of the folks that invest or contemplate investing in Alaska will be at this. There's an Alaska event, a featured reception, and also a number of follow-up meetings that are going to happen that they'll be having with, again, some of our existing and prospective investors. These are the kinds of things when we talk about working across divisions, we each bring something different to the table. And Director Ayers mentioned our Minerals Commission and some of the skills that we have in our department where we've analyzed where some of the priority areas are. Those are things that are used when the governor's office and others are looking at, well, what priorities should we have for our roads to resources? So again, we each have a different perspective, and we're most effective when we're really trying to harness this, and pull together. So thank you.
Okay. Representative Gardner.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I think one of the development offers, opportunities that Alaska has is not well understood, and that is the investment credit system under ACES. And after ACES passed, I had a constituent who contacted me and said he had a friend who was a small, independent wildcat driller who said he wouldn't come to Alaska because of our new tax structure. And I asked for the contact information. We had kind of a three-way conversation, at the end of which that person said, oh, well, I see. Things look very different than I had thought. And I think that's kind of an ongoing concern. You know, the majors have this chorus about how ACES is broken and needs to be fixed. But a lot of people, the members of the public, and I think even small explorers and independent developers, don't understand the credits that we offer. Commonwealth North is having a series of presentations on Tuesday mornings. It's been very interesting. And what they intend to do is ultimately make a recommendation for changes. But one of the presenters at that forum was an independent explorer, and he said that our tax incentive credit system is the best in the world, bar none. And yesterday, I had occasion to speak with a former commissioner who said he thought that one of the biggest problems is that we're not marketing that. And my view is that in ACES, it wasn't just about the state take, but it's about trying to get the small independent explorers up here and to do it in a way that makes it, that's a really meaningful opportunity. And get that. It's one thing to have the system in place, and it's another to market it to the people who might be interested in participating. So what are we doing, and what do you think we should be doing differently to do that?
Through the chair. Thank you, Representative Gardner. That's an excellent question and one that we've spent a fair amount of time considering. While specifically oil and gas is not a part of our portfolio, it's something that it's a core industry and we think about it a lot in terms of how it shapes other opportunities and questions that we may have. But really what your question illustrates is something that is required in every development opportunity. What business wants to know is, what's your tax regime? What do the regulations look like? What are those economic foundations? Are there training and workforce development programs? And so I think the pivotal role that the Division of Economic Development can play is in navigating the state system, illustrating our story about what our opportunities are, and communicating that back to the private sector in language that they understand. And so that whole marketing and communications piece and telling our story about what the opportunities are, I think, is a role that the Division of Economic Development can and should play. And within the existing framework, we're trying to do that within our statutory responsibilities. And we have explored some other creative ways that we can maybe move forward and be more of that pivot point, that communicator of what the state system and opportunities are.
Thank you. If I might follow up, Madam Chair. Thank you. That's encouraging. You're saying it's not in your portfolio, but you see it as a place where we might be doing more. So do I understand correctly then that your division is taking this up, or is there somebody else I should be talking to about having a really active, engaging, thrusting effort to make known to the to our target what we're offering?
Through the chair, one of the things that we've recognized that we have specific statutory responsibilities, going back to a point that Director Ayers made earlier in terms of Minerals Commission, fisheries, forestry, film, a number of specific industries. Part of our getting back to the merger and the framework that this sets up is that we've been looking at, we think we can serve broader a broader role by looking functionally, without dismissing these specific industries, but that looking at what the state could and should be doing in terms of financing, what we should be doing in terms of marketing, and what we should be doing in terms of research, what we should be doing in terms of business and technical assistance and coordination. And by organizing ourselves with industry expertise internally, again, by organizing our work more functionally, we think we can serve our statewide needs more effectively.
Madam Chair?
Yes, please.
Thank you. That is encouraging. But I guess the question in my mind still is, who should we be pushing to do actual marketing to the oil and gas independents?
Through the chair. Thank you, Representative Gardner. I think that is a great conversation to continue throughout this legislative session with regard to all of our existing industries and our emerging opportunities. We would like to do more, be able to do more, and have the resources to do more within marketing, but we're also looking at how we can organize ourselves now. And we're 90 days into this merger, and I think that we will have more of a story to tell you with regard to marketing and communications in the future.
Thank you. And lastly, Madam Chair, not to belabor the point, but is there anyone else we should be talking with about marketing our oil and gas opportunities?
Through the chair. And clearly in our cabinet level and sub-cabinet level conversations with Department of Natural Resources and Department of Revenue, each of our departments are having – you know, we have formal and informal conversations with business leaders in this industry. And so, again, I think I can take your urging and share that with our colleagues to make sure that we're articulating our policies clearly. And again, as Director Ayers noted, some of it in terms of the marketing and communication, we see that as a growing role for our department and not limited, you know, not limited to certain industry sectors.
Thank you. So, Madam Chair, I'd like to see Alaska have a solid and unequivocal role in trade industry conventions, to be marketing what we have here. And I'm understanding that we've sort of missed those opportunities thus far, or not done it as well as we might. So I'd like to see the state really focus on that.
Thank you, Representative Gardner. And Representative Osterman.
On the same subject. Representative Gardner, I think a lot of this has to do with us ourselves as legislators and how we look at how we market Alaska, whether it's fish, whether it's tourism, or whether it's the business sector. The business sector has been kind of left out of the marketing picture for a long time. You look at most other states, they have their own marketing entity that actually markets the state as a place to do business. We haven't done that. We put $17 million last year, I think it was, into tourism marketing. $2.5 million, I think is correct, or ASME, for the seafood. And that is the marketing efforts that we do as a state and as legislators, because we sit here and debate this in Finance Committee time and time again, how much money to put into these different organizations. And the pressure is there, obviously, to do each individual group, such as tourism or fisheries. At some point in time, we as legislators need to get together and say, okay, we want to market Alaska, not just fish, not just tourism, but we want to market Alaska as a place to do business, whether it's oil industry or whether it's trying to get an automobile industry to come up here and build cars, whatever. We've got another nice little business going on in the state of Alaska in aerospace, but it came on its own. Nobody went out looking for it or trying to find it. If Boeing is going to expand their operation and want to move outside the state of Washington, we should have a hit team that goes down there and sitting on their door and bringing them up here to do business. We don't do that. But we as legislators also have to have the responsibility of pulling these kind of ideas together, funding them in the necessary way, whether it's saying marketing, we'll put $50 million a year into marketing and then have a little committee, a subcommittee that divides that money up in however degree you want to do it. But if we just sit here and say, with your current funds, go out and park in Alaska, it's kind of very difficult for that department to do. So we have to pick up the responsibility ourselves. And it's a conversation we've been having both with the Senate and part of the discussion we've been having 2 years for efforts of economic development. So that concept is gelling out there right now, but hasn't totally gelled yet.
Well, it's a great idea, and I appreciate you bringing that forward. Thank you. Representative Foster.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A comment and a question. Normally when you think of economic development, you don't necessarily think of energy, you think of jobs, and so I'm happy to see that that's part of your direction. And I just wanted to extend the invitation as the co-chair of energy that if there are things that we can do to help, whether it be with these committees or with your department, you know, please let us know. It's such a large and complicated issue that I think it's going to be a very much a multifaceted effort. With regard to, you had mentioned traveling down to Vancouver and working with the minerals, and mining is certainly a big part of the economy in our district in Western Alaska. And you had mentioned, and so I was curious, what kinds of marketing do you do and how do you help to educate? And you had mentioned that you you explain the tax regime. You help them to understand what our training and workforce development is and as well as the regulations. And I was just curious if you had a packet or a presentation that you present to folks when you go to these trade shows that could be available to us and anybody else who might want one, just for curiosity. Thank you.
Through the chair. Thank you, Representative Foster. Primarily, the tool that we use when we go to mineral industries trade shows, because of the volume of information that the industry needs, is a CD with, we have examples of the materials available, of course, but we give them a CD that's loaded with lots of great information on mineral potential, on the tax regime, regulatory regime, but then also other information about workforce and those opportunities within the state. So it's a fairly comprehensive package, and be happy to get a copy of that CD available to all of you. Additionally, I would add that we focus on some specific development opportunities. At this particular trade show, we're focusing on some rare earth element opportunities, and the Department of Natural Resources has taken the lead on developing a thumb drive that has preloaded information. Again, lots of very dynamic mapping and GIS information that will help folks in the industry understand what the opportunities are in Alaska.
On that point, thank you. Glad to hear you mentioned the word rare earth elements. That seems to be a big word that you're seeing in the media, and especially hearing that China has really got the market cornered on that, and that they're cutting back on supplying the rest of the world market, and us as a nation and as a state needing to secure our future, and because that's such a critical part of what goes into things from defense to just consumer goods. And so I certainly hope that we can, move forward in that area. And I think it's a new area, but it'll be interesting to see what you find out. So thank you.
Representative Heron.
Yes, maybe just an opportunity for the commissioner and the department to do a little commercial on House Bill 119 by the governor. And there's a couple of interesting lines in there. Could you share, or just a little commercial for the bill, but maybe more specifically relating to the definition of own for economic development account?
Through the chair, I know that there'll be an opportunity for Ada to talk specifically to individual legislators and to various committees, but this bill, if I'm have the number correct, it's the one that includes ownership. Last year, the ADA legislation passed for ADA to own a part of a project. We do have development projects that ADA owns now, but one of the things that was pointed out after that passed was that it was important to have specific language that allowed ADA to participate in an LLC and other business structures like that. So that's one element of their legislation. The other thing, just thinking broadly about the economic development package, is that it is exploring the ability, would like to have the legislature pass a bill that allowed them to have new market tax credits. And so, again, I think that that's something, as the organization is thinking about what kind of tools can help give us greater flexibility to attract economic development and help make it sustainable. I compliment them for being very rigorous in looking at what other states are doing, what's possible, and then they've been very proactive just internally in sharing information and cross-training. But back to the ownership question, it was important to specifically address their ability to participate in limited liability corporations.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Are there additional questions? Yes, Representative Sadler.
Thank you, Madam Chair. A real brief kind of accounting question. Did the merging of the two divisions or offices into the Union Division causing either administrative or personnel or budgetary changes we should know about?
Through the chair, Representative Sadler, I'm sorry, could you restate the last part of that?
Well, I'm just trying to see what the cost or reorganization of personnel position movements, any kind of administrative overhead or structural changes of the merger of those two divisions.
We're in the process of looking at where some of the efficiencies will come from, starting with the fact that we've gone from two directors to one. We will have a management team that includes a manager of the development section and the financing section, but that was the case prior. And then we're looking for what some other efficiencies are, while maintaining the integrity of the budget for those individual sections. So that's a question and a challenge that we have, but it largely may come in just allocating those costs and code in the coding process for accounting.
Just anticipating the question of, did Juneau lose a job, did Anchorage gain a job, or did Fairbanks gain a job, or anything like that?
at this point, I think there's no net change. We may have changed individual positions from one location to another, but we've maintained geographic parity.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Osterman.
Thank you, Madam Chair. International trade is still under commerce, is that correct?
Through the chair. The Office of International Trade is housed in the Governor's Office, and what we recognize is a need for our departments to be working very closely together. One of the things that we asked the Governor to do early after I was appointed Commissioner was to task us with a long-term strategy that looked at not only what are our trade missions, which I think are sort of the tip of the iceberg, but what is it from, what are our emerging markets, what are we currently engaged in, not only in state activities and what are our marketing activities, but where is the private sector going? And then thinking from a broader strategy perspective, what are our infrastructure needs, what are our workforce training needs, and what are our marketing needs? And again, the trade missions are only a piece of that. There's other ongoing educational activities that we've been talking about in the course of this morning. So we've been tasked with it. We've begun to meet. We've articulated a first piece of that is to be sure that we're communicating with the state entities such as the airport, the community entities like the airport, the railroad, community entities like the Port of Anchorage. And again, back to this private sector outreach, where are businesses going? What are our lead exports, and what are our emerging possibilities, and what do we need to do to really harness the potential? So, we're at the front end of this. We haven't set a specific timeline to know if in the course of this legislative session where we'll be with this planning process. But we think it's imperative that with our industry contact, that we're working together with the Office of International Trade.
Thank you. What makes up the Office of International Trade in the Governor's Office? Last I heard was two secretaries, but correct me.
Through the chair, Representative Osterman, the Office of International Trade has two trade specialist positions, and then they're supervised by the Governor's Office Director in Anchorage.
Thank you.
Thank you. Additional questions? I have a couple of questions. With the new financing tools proposed, they will all be housed in the new division, is that correct? Okay. And then with the microloan revolving fund, the first, are there restrictions on the types of businesses that can apply for those loans, or is it a broad small business effort?
Thank you, Representative Munoz. There is no restriction on the type of business. It is modeled after an SBA microloan program that is not available in Alaska because there is not an intermediary lender to implement the program. So this is an opportunity to have a financing tool that's available in most other states here in Alaska. And I think that we can't anticipate necessarily what the traffic may be on it, but one bit of feedback that we get from particularly rural areas and small businesses is to have a financing tool that's focused on what their market opportunities are, the scale of their market opportunities, and to have it be available on a statewide basis. And so we really feel that this microloan tool will be that tool.
Okay. And again, could you repeat the bill number for these, or the bill numbers that include this package?
Yes, thank you, Representative Nias. For the revolving loan fund package, it's HB 121. And I don't know what the companion number is on the Senate side.
Okay, great. Thank you. Thank you. Are there additional questions? Hearing none, thank you very much for all of the excellent questions. Thank you so much for the testimony. It's very encouraging to see how responsive your department has been to the input, particularly the input of Representative Osterman and Representative Heron and the work of this committee. I really appreciate where you've gone with this. So thank you very, very much, and we look forward to working with you over the session. And I'm also very encouraged with these new revolving loan funds and the opportunity for success throughout Alaska. So thank you. Before you leave, though, could you introduce your staff to the committee, please?
I just said, I'm taking a moment to look. Thank you, Chairman Munoz, to see who was still in the audience with us. Don Haberger, Director of Corporations, Business, and Professional Licensing, has joined us. Tyson Fick, Legislative or Communications, former Legislative Liaison for a department. He's now with ASME. Odin Brody has been with previously the Office of Economic Development, now the Division of Economic Development, for a number of years, and he works in our Tourism Development section. Ray Beruda is still with us. He's in the middle row, Executive Director of ASME, and we've mentioned a number of times Curtis Thayer, Deputy Commissioner. Did I overlook anybody? Thank you.
Thank you again. Thank you very much. And before we close, I'd like to also introduce the committee aide, Terry Harvey, for the Community and Regional Affairs Committee, and for Economic Development, Trade, and Tourism, Rob Earle. Thank you for your work. Before we go, too, I want to encourage committee members to contact us if you have ideas for presentations or if you have a particular direction that you want to pursue with this committee. I'm very encouraging of that input. We will continue with the overviews from the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development over the next week or two. We have reports that will come back from AIDA, AEA, the Alaska Energy Authority, the Alaska Railroad Corporation, and the Regulatory Commission. We will also have reports from the Denali Commission and the Rural Sub-Cabinet. However, we're not meeting this Thursday, so you have a free day, and we will resume our meetings next Tuesday at 8 a.m. In our normal meeting area. So, again, please give us input on areas that you'd like to focus on. We have had requests already from Representative Gardner to look at the Galena School, which is a great idea. We've had requests from communities to look at EPA's involvement or new involvement in water discharge at the community level. We've also had a request to look at the Alaska Manufacturers Preference Program. So we'll have a report on that as well. And anything else, please contact Terry or myself, and we will follow up on it. So thank you all, and really look forward to working with you. I think we're going to have a great year ahead. And thank you again for your participation. Thank you. We are adjourned.